Okay, so we're picking up Shoftim Perakei, fifth chapter, Pasuk Chaf. Again, reading this Pasuk last week, Min Shamayim Nochamu, from Shamayim, they battled, that even though the other Shvatim didn't come to join, but even though many Shvatim sat out the battle, but from Shamayim, they had heavenly assistance. Hakochavim and Misugosam, and the stars from their paths, Nilchamu and Sisra, battled with Sisra. They joined in the battle. Nachal Kishon Girafa, the river of Kishon swept them away. Nachal Kedumim, see what that means. Nachal Kishon, Yitzet, Tidrichi Nafshi Oz, I stepped, I walked with O's, with strength. So,
go back as we were. This is referring to the siren there with Kavod,
or the Mazalos. We'll have to see what it means. So, just the first, we'll talk about the pshat that the Nachal Kishon washed them away. The battle, some of Farshim say, was right on the riverbanks. And there was a nace that the river Kishon overflowed and washed them down. Other Mepharshim say they were actually in the river, that either they were the soldiers were fleeing the battle, or the battle had just carried itself into the river itself and they were fighting in the river. But in any event, the river, with a miracle, became very strong and washed them down. Tidrichi nafshi oz, right? But I walked with oz, with strength. The different mefarshim, one approach is that Dvorah was saying that even though before the nace I was able to walk through the river, you could wade through this river. It wasn't so strong, but then came the miracle and it washed the Kenanim away. Others learned that it was simultaneous. Even while it was washing away the Kenanim, there was a nace that at the same time the Bnei Yisrael that were in the river were not washed away. They were able to walk through with strength. The Ralbag takes that approach and he says that, you know, almost like Kriyas Yamsuf, where you have this right, it's different, but it's simultaneous, where you have that you have this, you know, the river washing away some people and the other ones, Kriyas Yamsuf, they were walking on dry land. Here they were just able to fight off the current. So there's a Gemara in Pesachim. The Gemara is discussing the end of Pesachim, the Arvei Pesachim. It goes through much of Hallel, of the verses in Hallel. And one of the verses that we say is, Halu as Hashem kol goyim, all of the nations praise Hashem, Shabbachu kol ha'umim, again, the nations praise Him, Ki gavar alein chasto, because He has placed his chesed upon us, the emes Hashem li'olam, hallelujah. And Hashem is forever emes, He's forever true, keeps to His word. So the Gemara goes through a number of different interpretations of what the emes Hashem li'olam refers to, who said it, when they said it, and one of the things that the Gemara says, Psachim daf kuf yud ches and aveiz, Rav Nassan Omer, the emes Hashem li'olam, dagim shebiyam amruhu. The fish of the sea say that praise. Again, it's not that the fish actually talk. The Marsha says it's the sarim, it's the officers, the ministering angels of the fish. Dagim shebiyam amru. It's the fish of the sea that say the emes Hashem li'olam, that Hashem is forever true. Kedravuna to Amar Ravuna, Yisrael sheba osu adar biktane amonahayu. The Jewish people at the time of Kriyas Yamsuf, they were among the small ones when it came to Emunah. They didn't have great Emunah in Hashem. Ukimzarash Rabba Marmari Maidich Siv, the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Vayamru al Yam Yamsuf, that they rebelled at the Yamsuf. And the Gemara explains, Milambi Chehemir Yisrael Ba'osa Shah, teaches you that at the time of Kriyas Yamsuf, Bnei Yisrael, they rebelled. They complained, the Amru Kishem Sha'anu Owen Mitzad Echad, Kach Mitzriim Owen Mitzad Acher. Just like we are coming out on this side, so too the Mitzriim are coming out on the other side. What did they think? Ben Yoyada, I think it is, I saw, explains that they saw the Mitzriim drowning, right? Right behind them. The water closed in right behind them on the Mitzriim. But they thought it was just the front layer, just the front row of the Mitzriim that were getting washed away. Just to, that, cause it was only just to prevent them from getting at them, from reaching Bnei Yisrael. Hashem made the nace that the water closed up. But they thought that all the Mitzriim behind them would be able to turn around. The rest of the Mitzriim, the ones who weren't on the front lines, would just turn around and walk out. So, and I guess, you know, they were worried that if they all survived, then there would be a continuation of this. So, Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Asar Shel Yam. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed the Sar of the Yam, the ministering angel over the sea, over the Yam Suf, and he said, Ploto son liyabasha, spit out the Mitzriim, spit them out, the dead Mitzriim, so that Bnei Yisrael can see that they died. Amar lefanav, Hashem said, sorry, the Yam, the sea said, Ribono shel olam, kum yesh evet nosing orabo matana v'chozav v'notal mimenu. Is there an eved? Is there such thing as a servant to receive something from his master and then the master takes it back? You gave us these Mitzriim. I don't want to spit them out. I want them to drown in the sea. Rashi explains, what was the matana? What was the gift? Parnasa ledagim. It was food for the fish. Fish feed. The fish didn't want to give up their meal. They had all the dead Mitzriim at the bottom of the sea. They didn't want to spit it back out onto the land. Amar lo, so Hashem said, Eting lechav echad umechza. I'll give you 1.5 times the Mitzriim. You'll get paid back, don't worry. Amar lo, ribonu shel olam, yesh evet shetoveya es rabo. Fine, but does a servant ever demand from his master? You're guaranteeing it, but how am I going to demand it from you? Amar lo, nachal kishon yehei arev. The river of Kishon, our river and our story, that will be my guarantor. If you don't come to me, go to the river and ask for payment of this 1.3 times that I'm guaranteeing you, 1.3 times the Mitzriim. Go to the Nachal Kishon to get paid. Miat.
1.3 or 1.5?
Sorry, thank you. 1.5. 1/3 more. 1.5 times.
So this is assuming there's one sah for all oceans, rivers?
I don't think so.
Paying, the difference, so the has a payment.
Okay, I guess so. So miad palato sang yabasha. So then the river agreed, spit them out. Ubo Yisrael and Yisrael saw the Roosan, and they saw them. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, we say in Shacharis every morning, Bayar Yisrael es Mitzrayim esa Sfasayam. They saw Mitzrayim dead on the Sfasayam, on the shore. So the water spit them out. May echadu mechto shebahen. What's this 1.5 times? Because by Paro it says that there were 600 chariots. The Igu b'Sisra, and by Sisra, how many chariots do we have? Siv Shameos Rechev Barzel. 900 chariots. One half more. 1.5 times 600 is 900. Kiyasa Sisra.
That's just a chariot. How many Mitzriim?
Okay. Good question. We'll get to that. Kiyasa Sisra. When Sisra came, Asa Alayu Batri de Parzala, they brought with them iron spears, Hotia Kodesh Baruch Hu Aleihem Kochavim Misirosam. Hashem brought out the stars from their paths, like we had in Pasuk Chaf. Hakochavim Misirosam. Dechsev Ming Shamayim Nilchamu Hakochavim. Says from Shamayim the Kochavim will do battle. When the stars shined on them, akdiru hani dakri de parzala, they heated up the spears and all the chariots. Nachisu akri v'misli nafshayu v'nachal kishon. So they were boiling hot. They all jumped in the river to cool off. Amar la kadosh baruch hu v'nachal kishon. Hashem said to the Nachal Kishon, Lech v'hashlim arvoneich, go pay back what you've guaranteed. Miad garfam Nachal Kishon. At that moment, the Nachal Kishon washed them away, v'shlichon l'yam, and washed them into the sea, shenemar, maybe it led back to the same sea, I'm not sure. But shenemar,
it says
the Nachal Kishon swept them, v'shlichon l'yam, and sent them to the yam.
To the Yam.
Yeah. So I don't know which, if that's the same Yam, the Yam Suf. I don't know how that would work. Maybe eventually they made their way there. Perhaps that will answer your question. Shenemar Nachal Kishon Garfam Nachal Kadumim. The Nachal Kishon swept them away, and the Nachal Kadumim. The Gemara says, "My Nachal Kadumim." What does Nachal Kadumim mean? Nachal Shenase Arev Mikadem. It means Kadumim from the early days. The Nachal that was the guarantor. From Kedem, from the earlier days. Ba'osa Shah, and at that moment, Pasku Dagim Shal Yam, the Dagim of the Yam, the fish of the sea, opened up their mouths, or the Sar of the Dagim, the angel of them, opened up his mouth, the Amru, and they said, Ve'emes Hashem Leolam, Hashem is true forever, he always pays back that which he promises. That's the Gemara. Rashi says the Emes Hashem Leolam Sheshilim Lanu Matanoseinu, that he paid us back Mechel Paro from that which he had guaranteed us from the army of Paro. He now paid back with the army of Sisra 900 chariots. So we'll start with your question. You were asking that what about the rest of the of Pyro's army? So the truth is also, what about the rest of Sisera's army? So Tosfos in Erechin, this Gemara also appears in Erechin, asks a similar question. Tosfos asks that, he says, really by Pyro, the Pasuk says, Sheish Meos Rechev Bachor, 600 of the choicest chariots, V'chol Rechev Mitzrayim, and all the chariots of Egypt. So it seemed that there were more than 600, even the chariots themselves were more than 600. So Tosfos said, where's the calculation here? It's much more than 600, really. So he says, Lo kachashev ala asarim shal aretz Mitzrayim. Now it's only counting the officers, the leaders of Mitzrayim. Those were the ones in charge. Those 600 chariots were the officers. They were in charge, and that's who it counted. And so too, they were paid back with the officers, the leaders of Sisera's army, which was represented by those 900 chariots.
But the fish don't care whether they go up and says.
Very good question. You're on a roll here. Very good question. Mr. Gadowitz is asking that, but the fish don't care whether they're officers or not. They lost out on, you know, the whole Rech of Mitzrayim, all the army of Mitzrayim. So why do they want to be paid back for all of them, not just for the officers? So what's Tosfos saying? That it was just the officers. So I saw, brought down, that if we have a little bit of a different understanding of the Gemara, then it can help us answer this question. The Orach Chaim in Parshas B'Shalach gives an alternative approach to what it was that the fish or that the yam was missing out on. The way that we said it was that we brought Rashi, it was Parnasa L'Dagim, right? What was the matana that Hashem gave that they wanted back? It was feed for the fish. And if you learn like that, then you have this question. The Orach Chaim says that What does it mean if there's an Eved that gives his servant a present and then takes it back? The Arachayim says the Kavana is that Hashem, that the Yam, or the fish, they wanted to finish the mitzvah of punishing the Mitzrim. They didn't want to give up that opportunity to carry out Hashem's punishment against those who anger those who go against Hashem. So he says, you see, it's a great mussar even that the Sari Mala, the ministering angels, the servants, the Sarim, and all creations want to carry out Hashem's mitzvah. They want to carry out Hashem's will.
The mitzvah were dead already. The mitzvah had been carried out already.
It's a good question. It's a good question.
What does the fish have to do with carrying out the mitzvah? Was the sea that carried out the mitzvah?
It's a good question. So the truth is, right, we don't necessarily, even though the fish are the ones that sing the praise, it doesn't necessarily have to be let's look at the Gemara again. The Gemara only mentions the fish at the beginning and at the end. It says they are the ones who sang the Emes Hashem Le'olam, and at the end it says that at this time they sang this, you know, Hashem is true, right? So Rashi assumes that it was the fish themselves that were repaid, and that's what brought about their, you know, acknowledgement of Hashem being Emes. It could be, though, that no, the whole thing was about the sea itself. The sea wanted to fulfill Hashem's mitzvah, and the sea is the one who got paid back. But it was just the fish who are in the sea were the ones who witnessed this and acknowledged they are the ones to sing the Emes Hashem.
So the sea accomplished their job.
No, okay, so it sounds like there was an additional part of the mitzvah was to be the one to bury them. I don't want to just kill them, I want to bury them. I want them buried here. I don't want to spit them back out. I don't want to give them to the land.
The sea would bury them.
Right.
Is there a concept that applies to Goyim too, like the Jews here, I think, that say for the first 30 days or something, after you die, you feel something?
Sorry, comment again?
First 30 days after you die, there's like some connection still between the body.
I don't know about 30 days, but
a certain period of time.
Yeah.
So does that apply to Goyim too?
I don't know.
Why the Goyim? So then if they had this connection, then the fish are eating them, that would be a bigger punishment. Then if they just...
Because when they Israel crossed the sea, they sang the Shir Shalom, and they were witness, like the fish were witness.
So I'm reading on in the Arachayim now, and it sounds like he's learning that they didn't die in the sea. They died after they were spit out, and so then it goes very good. They saw them dead on the land, and that's where they breathed their last breath, was on the land. And that was the sea wanted to be the one to carry out the full punishment of the Mitzrim, and did not have that opportunity, and therefore Hashem guaranteed that I'll pay you back later on, I'll pay you back even more.
So did they have to get spit out so Bnei Israel could collect the booty?
The people didn't have to get spit out for that. And I think they were on the other side. I'm not sure. But I think just the booty itself would have had to be spit out. So how does this help us? How is this going to help us with your question what difference does it make to the fish? Right, because we're not talking about the fish anymore. Now we're talking about carrying out Hashem's will. Right, being the one to finish the mitzvah. So I saw the Maisa Choshev, quoting Kimotzei Shal Rav, wants to explain now that this goes, the Arachayim's approach fits in very nicely with Tosfos, because the Arachayim is saying that the sea wanted to be the one to destroy the Rishayim and to avenge Hashem's and to take the revenge on behalf of Hashem. And he says, so the main nekama, the main revenge, is on the leaders, is on the sarim themselves. The rest of them, they could have been forced, could be that they weren't, but the main revenge is on the leaders themselves. And so therefore, it fits very nicely with Tosfos that the main punishment was that was to the 600 officers, and even though there were many other chariots and many other people in Pyro's army, but that wasn't what the Yam cared about. What the Yam was complaining about not being able to do was carry out the punishment to the leaders. And so therefore, Hashem says, I'll pay you back, you'll be able to carry out the punishment of the leaders of Sisera's army in many years to come. So
they were all of Pharaoh's army was destroyed.
Right.
All of it. And all of Sisera's army was destroyed.
Right.
Even though they weren't all leaders, because you can't have all leaders.
Right. But I don't know if those numbers or how those numbers will match up. I have no idea. But at least in what the Gemara talks about, you have 600 leaders, 600 chariots of Pharaoh's army. The Pasuk says 600 chariots. And the Gemara says Hashem paid back the sea with the 900 chariots from Sisera's army, which is also mentioned explicitly in the Pasuk, that there were 900 chariots. That was the payment, was you. I took away your chance to carry out punishment against the leaders of Pyro's army. I'll pay you back with the chance to carry out punishment against the leaders of Sisera's army. Everyone else is collateral damage.
So we're counting chariots.
Yes, exactly. We're assuming that those chariots mentioned, Tosfos is telling us, that those chariots mentioned were the leaders, were the officers, the generals of the armies.
Right. That would sound better. They would get the better transportation.
Right. So a couple of other interesting ideas that crop up in this discussion. So the Marsha makes a number of important points here. So I want to start with just in Pshat. The Marsha says that right, we know the Dugim of the sea. Then we said that they said the Emes Hashem Le'olam. So right, Hashem is true forever. So the Marsha reads in the rest of that little pasuk in Tehillim, the beginning of the pasuk, Halulu Es Hashem Kol Gayim. All the nations will praise Hashem. What is it referring to? He says on the miracles of Kriyas Yamsuf, that we know that everyone, the whole world knew about the miracle of Kriyas Yamsuf. The Medrash says, he brings it down, that the waters in the whole world split. Even in somebody's cup of water, wherever they were in the world, it split at that moment. Everybody witnessed, the entire world witnessed Kriyas Yamsuf. So they saw this Halulu Es Hashem Kol Gayim, all the nations of the world praised Hashem. Shavuchu kol ha'umim. And now here, by the war of Sisera, which was also famous, Shavuchu, they praised him for his might. When they heard about the defeat of Sisera's army, of Hashem's great actions, they praised Hashem's might. And right, they heard of it that they saw the stars left their constellations. It was witnessed by the whole world, this miracle. And so therefore, Shavuchu kol ha'umim, when ki gavar aleinu chasto, when Hashem did chesed for us at the Yamsuf, and then again at the battle with Sisera, and then the emes Hashem le'olam, Hashem carried out, he was true to his word, and rewarded and paid back the fish for their for what they had given up, or paid back the sea, depending on which approach we want to take.
So you can take either approach.
Yeah, one is Rashi's approach, that it was paying. We're going to be left with some questions if we have Rashi's approach, which is that it was the fish food, and that was the matana that was taken away from them. Then we're going to be left with, but then the numbers have to be exactly equal. I don't have a resolution for that question according to Rashi. But we also have Tosfos' approach, which was, it was the Yam wanting to be paid back for a chance to carry out punishment against those who anger Hashem.
The Egyptians were bad. 600 Egyptians were about 900.
Maybe. So, what am I looking for here? So one of the lines here was the discussion back at the back and forth between the yam, or the fish, and Hashem was that is there any Hashem says spit them out, right? So the yam responds, is there a eved that receives a present from his master and is forced to give it back? Is there such thing? So the Maharsha says, what were they saying? He says, hold on a second. We have an idea that mashekana eved kana rabo, that when whatever a eved has really belongs to the master. In other words, an eved, a servant, can't really acquire anything. So what exactly was the claim of the fish here? You know, they're Hashem's servants. They're Hashem's avadim. They anything that they own by definition, Hashem owns. So he didn't give them anything. He gave it to them, but it's still his, so he could take it back. So what were they saying? Is there any master who gives something to their servant and then takes it back? The Maharsha says that still, it's not the derech. It's not the normal way. It's not derech eretz to take back. If you give food to your servant, you know, to take it from his jaws, that's not derech eretz. That was their claim. They said, no, this isn't the normal way, Hashem, that you would take something back. This Maharsha was used to bring a proof to an actual halacha, an actual shaila that came before the Maharsham. Maharsham was Rav Shalom Shvadron. I assume he was like the grandfather of the more recent Rav Shalom Shvadron, or an ancestor of him, but I'm not sure.
The Maggid.
Yeah, I assume that he's a descendant of his, but Maharsham has extensive tshuvos, responsa, and he was asked a question, following case came before him, that you have two people, two friends, Reuven and Shimon, and there was a certain Gentile in their city who they had some involvement with. He was maybe a powerful person, and he asked Reuven to lend him 1,000 rubles. Reuven didn't really want to lend him the money because he was afraid that he wouldn't get paid back. He'll have a document and he'll be able to take this guy to court. But he was afraid to do that. This was a scary person. He didn't want to have to take him to court. He didn't want to have to mess with him. So what did the guy do? He went to Shimon to ask him to borrow the money. So Shimon also didn't want to lend him the money. But what he did was, Shimon went back to Reuven, and he told Reuven, listen, you lend him the money, and I'll be the arev, I'll be the guarantor on the loan. Okay? So, you know, if he doesn't pay you back, then I'll pay you back. So Reuven said, okay, it's a deal. This way I'll for sure be paid back. If the guy doesn't pay me back, then I'll go you, Shimon, and you'll have to pay me back. Okay, so he lent him the money. And what happened? Sure enough, he didn't pay him back. So Reuven goes back to Shimon. Says, okay, he didn't pay me back. Can you pay up? You guarantee that you would pay me if he didn't pay. So Shimon says, hey, hold on 1 second. The halacha is that a guarantor doesn't have to pay back unless the borrower first goes to, sorry, the lender, the malve, first goes to the lovet, to the borrower, and asks him to pay him back. You never went to the Gentile to ask for payment. So you can't come to Nia. First you have to go to the Gentile. So Reuben says, wait a second. The whole deal was, I didn't want to go to him. I'm afraid to go to him. You were guaranteeing me that you would pay me back with the knowledge that I was afraid to take him to court. I was afraid to go and demand the money from him. So I'm not going to pay. I'm not going to ask him for the money. And you guarantee the money, you should pay me. That was the Shaila that came to the Marsham. And the Marsham says, you know what? I quote you the wrong Marsha. So I'll quote you the Marsha in a second. He's going to quote the Marsha. So he said that in this situation, the Arev, the guarantor, is what we call an Arev Kabbalah. The difference between an Arev and an Arev Kabbalah is whether you can go to him first. Normally a guarantor is only backup. You can only go to him if the borrower can't pay back. But you first have to ask the borrower, and then you could go to the guarantor. But there's another type of Arev, which is called an Arev Kabbalah, and you can agree to be an Arev Kabbalah, which means that you can come to me first also. It's a guarantor who's willing to guarantee that he will pay, even I'll pay you, no questions asked. Whether you go to the borrower first or not, you can ask me to pay you back, and I'll pay you back. That's the agreement. So, the Marsha that I was supposed to quote you says like this. Back to our story. So in our story, Hashem says, basically he says, lend me the mitzrim, right? Spit them out onto the land, lend them to me, and I'll pay you back years later, and the river of Kishon will be my guarantor. Right? Now what happens? Who pays back? The guarantor. Right? That's what happened. The guarantor, the river, is the one that paid back, not Hashem. Hashem didn't do it directly from him. They went right to the guarantor. They went right to the river for payment. The sea, the fish went right to the sea for to the river of Kishon. The sea, the Yamsuf, or the fish, whoever's collecting here, went right to the river Kishon to collect. So the Marsha says, even though you are supposed to first be Toveya, you're supposed to first go to the lender, the borrower, to ask for the money. So the fish or the sea, whoever wanted to be paid back here, should have first gone to Hashem and said, okay, it's time to pay back. Still here, since an Eved never demands from his master, so therefore, the guarantor, the Nachal Kishon, even though the original agreement just stated that he was a regular guarantor, but since it was known that the fish would never go to the borrower, which is Hashem in this case, to ask for payment, an Eved, servant doesn't go to the master to ask for payment, since it was known that the lender, the fish, would never go to Hashem to ask for payment. So from the beginning, the river Kishon knew going in that it would be an Arev, it would be a guarantor, like a Kabbalah. The type of Arev, the type of guarantor that you can demand from first. And so that's why the fish were able to go straight to the Nachal Kishon to say, okay, time to pay up. They didn't have to first ask Hashem, who was the real borrower. They didn't have to ask Hashem to pay back because it was known from the start that this was an Arev Kabbalah. You could go right to the Arev, right to the guarantor, to ask for payment. And so the Marsham said it's the same thing here. Based on this Marsha, he said the same thing in our case. From the time of the loan, Shimon knew that Reuven would not go back to this Gentile to ask him to pay him back. He knew. And so therefore, from the time that he collected the money, from the time that he borrowed the money, from the time that he made the guarantor, he was really guaranteeing to being Arev Kabbalah. He was agreeing to be the type of Arev that you can collect from without going to the borrower first. And so therefore, the Marsham paskind that Reuven can collect from Shimon even without first being toveya, without first demanding payment from this Gentile. And that Shimon was automatically, in this type of situation, like an Arif Kablan, the type of Arif that you can collect from without first demanding from the borrower. Just like, in our case, where the Nachal Kishon was automatically an Arif Kablan, the fish were able to go right to the Nachal Kishon to ask for payment without first going to Hashem to ask for payment. Another interesting question that comes up in this Gemara is, right, Hashem says, lend me 600, give me 600 mitzrim,
interest,
and I'll pay you back 900. It's ribbis, it's interest, right? So how could you do that? So the Chidah deals with this question. He also deals with another question at the same time. The Chidah in his Psachei Naim, which is his Peirush on Agata, so on this Gemara in Psachim, so he says, he's also trying to answer the same question the Marsha had, that how could the fish go directly to the Arid without first demanding payment from Hashem? You're supposed to first go to the borrower and then go to the guarantor. How could the fish go directly to the Nachal for the payment?
Ribbis doesn't apply to fish.
Well, it should apply to Hashem.
Ah, but it applies to humans.
You're saying that we're also allowed to lend with interest. We're just not allowed to lend Jews with interest. So by the same token, right, you're allowed to lend a guy with ribbis. So you should be allowed to lend to a fish with ribbis. That's a good answer. I'll be honest, he doesn't really like ask the question straight out. He says, and this is also why it's not a problem of ribbis. And basically what he says is that you can have a situation. He brings a raya, he brings a proof from a Rashba, a tshuva from the Rashba. But basically he proves that you can have a situation where you have a loan and you have a guarantor on the loan, and the loan doesn't take effect. As in, the borrower does not become obligated to pay back, but the guarantor, his guarantee does take effect, and he is obligated to pay back. So you have a situation where the lender isn't allowed to go to the borrower to get paid because the loan didn't take effect when it comes to the borrower, but you can still go to the guarantor to get it, to collect his payment. So he said that's what was going on here. He brings a proof in halacha that that's true, and then he says that's exactly what happened here. Based on this other marasha that we just read, that really, mashakana eved kana rabo, whatever a eved owns, his master really owns. So why didn't Hashem just take away the food and say that's it? Why didn't Hashem just take it away? Because it's not derech eretz to take the food out of the mouth of the servant, right? So Hashem didn't really owe the fish anything, though. It wasn't that Hashem borrowed it. It was just like a derech eretz to pay the fish back. I don't owe you anything, but if I'm taking it from you, so in terms of derech eretz, I'll pay you back eventually. I'll give you something. But that it's not a loan, so he could give him back whatever he wants. There's no problem with interest. There's no problem with ribbis, because it's not a loan. However, the guarantee was still in place. As I just mentioned, that he proves that you can have, like, even though it's not a loan, but if somebody guarantees payment, so that could still be in place. And so therefore, the guarantee was still in place, and the Nachal Kishon still owed the 900 chariots, and so therefore, it makes sense that this fish were able to go to the Nachal Kishon to collect payment without first asking Hashem, because Hashem didn't really owe anything. Hashem never borrowed anything. Hashem wasn't obligated to pay back anything. But the Nachal, the river which was the guarantor, had made an agreement and was subject to that agreement and was obligated to pay back. And that's why they were able to first go to the Nachal without even going to the borrower, Hashem, because there was no borrower in this situation. Hashem never actually borrowed fish. They were really his the whole time.
I'm not fully understanding. How do you have a guarantor when there's nothing to guarantee?
So, it's a good question. I didn't look into so much his proof. His proof is coming from a Rashba. It's a case where there was a loan that was done with a certain condition that rendered the loan invalid. I guess he actually lent the money, but for whatever reason it made it invalid. I'm not sure why he wouldn't have to pay back.
He wouldn't have to pay back.
Let me just see how he brings it. I'm not sure. It was some situation where he wouldn't be able to demand payment from the borrower, but he would. But there was a guarantor, and he was able to still demand payment from the guarantor. So Rashba will have to. It'll take further research to understand it fully. But he proves that's true. That can happen. Okay. So that basically winds up the story of the Nachal Kishon. The next pasuk just finishes it off. Pasuk Chafez. Az homo ikvesus. Then the ikvesus, the heels of the horses were damaged. Midaros daros abirov, from the prancing of the abirov of the mighty ones. And again, different approaches to what's going on in this pasuk. Why were the ikvei sus, why were the heels of the horses damaged? So where did my notes go? Here they are. So one, Rashi says that this is directly related to what we just mentioned, that the stars heated things up. Says that they heated up the ground so much that the horseshoes were burnt off the horses, causing their feet to be injured from prancing around. Others say that when they saw the river overflowing, so they tried to flee, and they were working the horses really hard. And from that, the horses' feet were damaged. The Radak points out that we're talking about the heels of the horses, which don't have the horseshoes anyways. I think they're hard, but they don't have that protection, and that's specifically why it was that spot on the horses' feet that were damaged, that were hurt. The Ralbag offers that perhaps it's metaphorical, that it really means that it was like the horses' feet were injured because they became useless from the river. The river washed them away. It was like they had no feet. It was like the horses' feet were damaged. And the last shot, the Malbim says that the Daros Abira, of the prancing and dancing of its mighty ones, is actually referring to the river. That from the river, from the flowing of the river, like Abirim, the strong flowing of the river, Palmuik Vesus, the heels of the horses were damaged as they were washed away. We will hold it there.